Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
I have been in stadiums. I have been in concerts when grown men stand up and begin to stomp their feet and clap their hands and begin to scream over a ball game, a concert, whatever it is. They say, well, you can't do that at church. And I say, no, you shouldn't have to even ask people to do that at church.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Bow Wow. And we're going to jump around the book a little bit today. There's something that happens, and there's no way, even if I make it through all these verses that we're going to talk about today, that eventually anybody who sees God, knows God, understands what He's about, who He is, ends up down, they're bowing, and they're wowing. You cannot know this God and at some point in your life not end up either your head bowed, your body bowed. At some point, if you even have a clue who He is, you are aware that you're in the presence of not just royalty, you're in the presence of the King of all kings. And the Lord of all the Lords that exist or ever have existed. And there is something about that. Have you ever seen old movies where, you know, a king or somebody, a princess, a queen will be dressed up and go through the city and no one can tell who she is? And in some ways, Jesus, as the King of Kings, while He was on the earth, was a little bit, in some ways, disguised. He took on human form. He took on a body and He became a servant. He became obedient, it says, unto death, even the death of a cross. I mean, He didn't live like a king in terms of entourage, although He was continually followed by people. He didn't have the gold and the silver, although He started out with kings bringing Him gifts of that. But He lived a simple life, not like most kings who live today. And yet, people who saw Him, some saw Him and bowed, some saw Him and didn't have a clue who He was. And the same thing happens today in church, in life, is there are a lot of people, some even in a room like this, we gather, we'll read some scriptures, and some of you will be aware that somebody else is here. And something inside of you will stir, and there'll be this almost an impulse to find a place and literally get prostrate before this God. But He is here. He has to be here because He promised He'd be here. And some of you come and you go, well, I didn't see Him, I didn't sense Him. Never confuse buildings with God's power or His presence. There's nothing to this structure that makes it a God kind of power place. When we leave, if He wants to stay, He's welcome to stay, and He could. But He's here because we are here. And if we go down the street to a gymnasium and we have church, the same power. You either have power or you don't. Now, what happens in a lot of churches is the buildings are so impressive and the temperature is set so right and the music is so moving that somehow we get these feelings like we do at a concert somewhere and we think, wow, I'm getting these feelings and something's going on. And it's more of a soul experience than it is a spiritual experience. And when you leave that building, it stops. Because the atmosphere has changed. Let me tell you something about our God. It doesn't matter where you are, what circumstance you're in, what problems you have. Our God is an awesome God everywhere. And you cannot get away from Him. And you can be driving down the street in absolute silence. You can have some CD playing with worship music. You can be singing. It doesn't matter where you are. You can praise Him. You can worship Him. You can acknowledge Him anywhere. And I think what a lot of Christians never discover is the power of His power and the power of His presence and how close He is. Now again, you can start reading from Genesis and go all the way through. And there are times, there are places when God's presence gets so thick, so overwhelming. Yesterday for me, it was at a wedding. It was in a room by myself. And I know what happens before a wedding. The groom comes in that room before we go out and I do the ceremony. And usually it's, you know, the groomsman, and sometimes it's horsing around, but this was a pretty serious deal, and for some reason it hit me, and I stood up to pray with those guys. I couldn't open my mouth. Number one, because it was so overwhelming and emotional, I couldn't get any words out. And I literally, all I could pray was, I finally got out, Father, I thank you that there is such a thing as groanings that cannot be uttered, because I don't know what to say to you. Because I am so overwhelmed with who you are and what you have done. And I am so grateful to you, God, that these things are even possible. Guys, I'm telling you, you don't have to think very hard. You don't have to go very far to discover that our God is an awesome God. And you will begin to bow and wow at who He is every day, all the way. And it is an amazing experience. Now let's take one in 1 Kings chapter 18. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." Now if you go back and read the context here, and I just don't have time to do it, there's a showdown here in this chapter. And the prophets of Baal have said, "We're going to cry out to God and we'll find out who God is today." And they had to call fire down from heaven. The challenge was, call fire down from heaven and consume the altar. And they cut themselves and prayed and cried out to their God, and nothing happened. And basically Elijah says, "Okay, are you done? You've tried your best, you've done, your God's got nothing." I know it's not exactly what he said, but that's pretty much the gist of it. So then he says, "All right, let me build my altar." So he builds his altar. He puts the woods, the stones, symbolically of these 12 tribes. He says, "Dig me a trench around it. Put the wood on here." Then he says, "Get water." He says, "I'll show you what my God can do." He says, "Get water. Douse the thing. Soak it. Fill the whole thing, trenches, with water around it. We're going to make it so obvious that when fire comes and consumes this, there will be no doubt who is God." So he tells them to fill the water pots. "Do it a first time. Do it a second time. Do it a third time," he said. They did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And everybody knows it's hard to light wet wood, but not for God. Verse 36, "And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again.'" Now guys, I don't know that Elijah screamed this, and sometimes I think we get a little freaked out personally. Because you could read that, and who knows what he said. You could read that, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac," you know, you can scream it out, and maybe he did. Not so, it's not that God's hard of hearing. If he screamed it out, it's maybe for all them to hear what he was praying. But the power is not in the volume of your prayer. The power is in the faith. It's in who he is, not who we are anyway. So you can somewhere quietly pray the same prayer and get the same reaction. "Lord God of Abraham," praise this. Now look what happens in verse 38. It is one man praying, doing what God told him to do, and God answers the prayer. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." The whole stinking thing disappeared. The wood, the rocks, the dust itself was consumed by the fire of God, and the water that was there evaporated, and there's nothing there. "Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Now let me ask you a question. You say, "Well, if I saw a fire consume an altar like that, I'd bow too." You don't need fire to consume an altar. Your life has been changed. You've got every reason in the world to wow over who He is. We just forget. We don't think about it. We don't talk to Him. We don't look at our lives in terms of what is not happening to me, but what is happening to me? What has God done to me? How has He changed me? How has He blessed me? And I know, because I know a lot of people in this room, some of you guys have been raised with tough stuff. Some of you have been abused as children. Some of you have suffered tragedy in your marriage, physical sickness of some kind, whatever it may be. And you can spend the rest of your life, because of these things that have happened to you or that you've done, being bitter. Or you can say, "You know what, God? Either you can bring good from this or you can't. I can't change what's happened in my life. I'm going to take it and I'm going to give it to you and trust you and say, God, only you can bring something good from this. But I praise you and I thank you in spite of all that's happened to me. I trust you and I give it to you. And I'm asking you to take all of it and bring some good from it. And then you turn it back on the enemy who might have meant it for evil and it comes for good. And all of a sudden, guys, I'm telling you because I've been there, and if you've been there, you know this. The second you begin to worship Him and to praise Him and to thank Him, whether you use music or not, whether it's just verbally saying something or quietly in your heart, something happens in you. If you came to me and said, okay, I got an hour on Sunday morning, and I can either come between 10 and 11 or 11 and 12 for church, what do you recommend? I would say to you, come between 10 and 11 for the music. Skip the message. Now, I wasn't raised to think that way because it was all about the preacher. It was all about the preaching. And if we got to skip something, we're not going to miss the preaching because we got to get him up there behind that box. Now, I'm not minimizing the preaching, guys, but you can buy tapes. You can listen to the radio. You can get inundated with great preaching and Bible study. You cannot worship together unless you do it. Because I had a conversation this week with a guy, and he has been prone in his life to show up for the preaching. He'd come in, hear me speak, and then go, and that's what he's done. Fine. And I said, well, let me encourage you to come a little earlier, and let me tell you why. Because you're missing out on something. And he listened, and we talked, and this guy works out. And I said, do you get up right now and just go straight to the gym and just start working out? And he said, well, no. And I said, well, why not? I said, let's just go work out. I said, what do you do? He says, well, you know, you do some cardiovascular about 30 minutes, get your muscles warmed up. I said, and all of a sudden he's telling me this, and you could kind of see him going, okay, I got it, that's it. But guys, you can't just go into this stuff cold. There's not a woman in here, I don't think, who just wants her husband or some man to just, you know, there's a word, I don't know if it's an Oriental word or what it is, but it's the word wooing. Anybody know what wooing is? There is a sense, and I've never had this thought before this week, there is a sense that in a way, when we worship, and I don't want you to take this too far because I don't have a verse to back it up, but there is a way in which it's like we come down to the courtyard under the balcony and we begin to sing. And all of a sudden, he comes and says, you know what? This is a great place for me to be. And in this word in Psalm 22 means this, enthroned, means to sit down, to be set, to remain, to stay. Now, what happens in a room like this when God shows up and really shows up? We begin to sing and he starts to get comfortable. You say, well, I'm not comfortable here. I don't give a rip if you're comfortable. I'm worried if he's going to be comfortable. Because if he's not comfortable here, we're not having church. We're just a bunch of people singing songs and reading some verses and going home. It's a religious experience. If we come in here and our hearts get tuned up and our sins are dealt with as we go through this process and we sing songs and we begin to woo him the way he's wooed us to himself and we say, God, you gotta come or nothing's gonna happen. You gotta sit down on this place. You've got to anoint everything that happens here. And guys, I'm telling you, I've been in rooms, I know when he's here. And I don't know what happens or how he does it, but there is almost like something that sits down on this place. And the Spirit of God begins to move. And something happens that you cannot simulate with light, sound, cool, hot. You can't simulate it. Lasers, you can't simulate it. It is the power, it is the presence of a holy God. Psalm is full of this. Listen to Psalm 95 verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. At some point, you can't be quiet, by the way. Now, I am not about concocted stuff. And I believe as our church grows physically and spiritually, there's coming a day when there will be spontaneous and you won't even understand what happened, and it will be God-induced, the Holy Spirit through us, when something will break out. I have been in stadiums. I have been in concerts when grown men stand up and begin to stomp their feet and clap their hands and begin to scream over a ball game, a concert, whatever it is. Now you say, well, you can't do that at church. And I say, no, you shouldn't have to even ask people to do that at church. When that happens, it will not be anybody making it happen. It'll be something you finally, at some point in your Christian life, when you are aware of who He is, you get so full, you just cannot contain it anymore. One of the girls in our church, she's pretty quiet. She's not all about making a scene. And she simply came to me. She said, I've been coming for years. Is there a time we could sit down and talk? There's something I need to talk to you about. And I realized it wasn't something that was going to wait a week or two. So I said, well, why don't we go over and sit down right now and talk? And I explained to her, you know, asked some questions, started talking through, told her that Jesus loved her, that He had died on the cross for her, was buried, raised from the dead, that heaven was a free gift. She could reach out the hand of her heart and just take it. And that God loved her, had a plan, a purpose for her life. And long conversation, I said, has there ever been a time in your life when you've reached out and accepted that gift of eternal life? And she said, yes. And I said, when? And she said, 2 months ago. And I said, who knows? She says, nobody. But my guess is she couldn't take it anymore. Because you know what? It's like being in love. You can meet the strongest, macho, altogether guy who get goofy. They fall in love and they get absolutely goofy, stupid goofy. And they say things they never thought they'd say. They do things they never thought they'd do. And I'm telling you, when you fall in love with this God who has fallen in love and chosen to love us, you're at some point not going to be able to be quiet anymore. And to someone else, it may still be quiet, but to you, it may be screaming out, it may be shouting out compared to who you usually are. And I'm not saying you ought to go around shouting, but I know people who do in the privacy of their home, they can't take it anymore. And I've seen guys who get engaged or get married or something go screaming through houses and through fields and, you know, getting goofy because there's love in their heart and they can't contain it anymore. It's amazing. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of... And he goes through all these sons' things, the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Guys, you need to read this because you need to remember this every day of your life because you're going into battle every day. And you forget it's not your battle, it's His. And God's people are about to go in this battle and there are more people against them than there are for them from what they can see. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. He told them where they'd be. You will not need to fight in this battle. Now, how do you go to battle and not fight? Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying. He appointed singers. He said, okay, now we're going into battle. We need a choir. What the heck is music going to do in a battle? They have praised him before. They're appointing these singers. And their job was to go before the army and say, praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. I've had a song in my head and in my heart for 2 or 3 days, and I can't get it out of my head. And you know what? I don't want to get it out of my head. Because no matter what happens around me, when that song wells up inside of me, it all goes away. It disappears. Now, does it disappear? No. But any problem you have in relation to the size of this God that you know and that dwells in you if you know Him truly, there is nothing too great for Him. You say, but you don't know my situation. You know what I say? You don't know your own God then. And you need to read about Him. You need to talk to Him. You need to listen to Him. You need to find out who He is and what He has done and what He can do, and ask Him if He'll do it for you, and let Him do it for you, because He will. So look what happens in this passage. They go out, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Verse 22, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. The second they began to sing, God ambushed everything around them, the enemy. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. They started attacking each other. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. And they never had to draw a sword and do anything in that battle. And it was all when the singing, when the praising of God began, and that's how they led out into battle. Turn over to the New Testament, Matthew 4. And this is where Jesus was tempted. And it says, and again, the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and He showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, all these things I will give you if what? If you will fall down and worship Me. And you know what? He had the authority to do just what He offered. Because God had given Satan control, and he still has control of this planet under God's authority, but he has been allowed to roam and do whatever he wants to do with his angelic host. And he says, I'll give you everything, all the kings of the world, if you will bow down to Me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. And guys, the same thing applies to you that applied to Jesus. That is our job, to worship the Lord our God and Him only.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now, how do you worship Him? I shared this with a group of guys. I left early yesterday morning to a prayer kind of thing, and then I had that wedding. It was going to be a long day. And Catherine had climbed in the bed, our two-year-old. So she's over there by Rebecca, and they were kind of awake. And 6:30 in the morning, Catherine's looking at me, and I'm over there trying to give her kisses goodbye, and she's pushing me away. It starts really young. So we went back and forth and played a few little games, and then she laid down, and I left. And I realized I got downstairs, and I had to come back up. And I went by the bed again and was coming back by and thought she was sound asleep, and she saw me. And out of nowhere, this two-year-old, almost three-year-old, lifted up as I went by. She lifted up on her arm and went, I love you, and then went back down on her pillow. She couldn't take it. She knew she had a little chance. She was a little bit too proud to do it before, but she thought, you know, I'm not going to let it slip away. And so she leaned up and said, I love you. And you know what? We're the same way with God. We're little bitty kids. We don't know how to say it. We don't know what to say sometimes. And you know what He loves is a simple, little, I love you. You say, well, my dad never said that to me. My mom never said that to me. Nobody's ever said they love me. Then let Him say it to you and get used to that for a little while. And then you try it back on Him. You say, well, that sounds squirrely. That sounds ooey gooey. You know, nobody has to know you're doing it for a while. You can be like in a closet doing this, which is recommended in Matthew 6 anyway. So you get in a closet in a quiet place where you make sure the place is not bugged and nobody's listening. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to try it. I love you. You survive that. You say, now that I think about it, I guess the reason I love you is you love me. And the more I think about that, the reason you can even love me is because you gave your Son to die for me. And He shed His blood and was buried and raised from the dead. And now I got a life because He died. And you know, now that I think about it, man, you've done some amazing stuff for me, because if I die, I'm okay. If I live, I'm going to be okay because I know you. And I'm telling you guys, you get this thing rolling before you know it, you don't want to come out of the closet. Now, my prayer for me, not just today, but the rest of my life, and for you, the rest of your life, is that we will either begin to bow and wow
or we will continue to bow and wow at who this great and awesome God is and be aware of His glory and His majesty and His holiness and understand that our God is an awesome God.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.